How's it going? Just want to do a casual Cosmos space. There's so much going on. People can, if they're free, they could touch base and we could chat about a couple of things going on. Stable coins, yields, different Cosmos chains, airdrops, all that stuff. But we got Bitcoin at all-time highs. That's always a good thing. ETH is actually lagging. So maybe the next couple of months, especially if there's news about an Ethereum ETF, Ethereum to some people might look cheap compared to Bitcoin. And of course that sets off some altcoin activity. That's interesting. Price is the most interesting thing right now, even though we have some good chains, some good protocols, but yeah, price is interesting. Bitcoin just briefly over 69,000 is huge. I'll pin a couple of tweets. Hey Kit, how are you? I'll get you up here. I see people popping in and out, so hopefully it's not a rug space. Yeah, but I'm looking at CoinGecko now. Obviously Bitcoin came down a little bit off the highs. I'm sure that'll have an effect for a couple of days maybe on all the other tokens. But if people stuck out the bear market, they should be doing pretty good. Should be doing pretty good. Actually, Celestia is up kind of big the last day. Celestia's been sputtering a bit. Adam over $12. That's always good to see. Hey, Mad Cat, how are you? Conehead, how are you? If you guys want a mic, just come get it. Mad Cat, I'm pretty sure that was you. I was talking about poker. I actually didn't get a chance to play this weekend. Chris, I gave you a mic. If you're free, come on up. I'm gonna read through some prices really quick. And Timmy's supposed to join me. I don't know where he is. It was his idea to do the space. I'm homesick from work. Oh, Mad Cat's requesting a mic. That's cool. Anybody else you want a mic? It's a very casual space. I just happened to be homesick from work today. I hurt my back and I just decided not to go. So I get to play with Twitter.
Oh no, you hurt your back? That's the worst. Can you sit up and roll out of bed?
Or is it? Yeah. Whenever I hurt my back in the past, it's always been like my upper back and neck, like spasms and whatnot. But this time I did something really stupid. Not stupid, but it was a stupid way to hurt my back. I was trying to separate two garbage cans that were stuck together. And as soon as I started to pull them, I got a huge pain in my lower back. I shouldn't say huge pain, but it was definitely like locked up. And I could not go to work yesterday or today. I walk really far to go to work. I walk like I take a train and then I walk like a mile each way to work. So
it's like a good 35-minute walk at least.
Yeah, it's my commute is short, but a lot of it's walking. So it's like a nice way kind of to start the day as long as it's not pouring rain. But I can't see myself doing this walk very enthusiastically. So I'll probably go tomorrow. I don't want to waste my days, but I just, you know, it's hard to get out of bed that when you know it's going to be, everything is like putting your socks on is a struggle, you know?
Yeah. I've had slip disc issues or something. I think, but like so bad where it's like literally have to roll out of bed. Can't sit up.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I went to a golf driving range, and I was basically doing like Happy Gilmore swings. Like me and my friends were trying to hit like the 250-yard fence, and we were hitting it. And the next day, I couldn't get out of bed. I was like 17, 18 years old. I'll never forget that. I missed like a week of school. It was I had like perfect attendance up until that point, and then it was like May. I almost finished the school year. I missed 5 days with my back screwed up from being an idiot at playing golf. That I don't even play golf. I never play golf. It was just being stupid.
Yeah, back pain's no joke. But hey, I wanted to ask you about the poker thing.
Sure.
Have you played it on Gelato before?
Oh yeah, I used to play all the time. It's like micro stakes games. You just go in the Discord. You use your GLTO tokens, but I'm sure you could use any token, and they just set you up on the site. It's like a private, like a semi-private play money game, but they use their own token, so it's like one for one with the actual Gelato token. And
you can cash them in.
What's that?
You cash them in.
You just go in Discord and you just say, hey, I want to cash out like 100,000, whatever. And then they just take it out of your account and then they send it to your wallet.
Oh, okay.
It's, you know, it's like the best we can do, I guess, for
that. Tara had a working, poker, thing like on chain. It was all micro sticks. I never bothered with it, but, and there was like no users, but. Last time I looked at Gelato, they were doing like that's why I haven't looked at them in a while. They were doing something with like the apps, like I think they were using one of the major like apps or whatever. I forget what they're called. And you like send them money or whatever, and then they give you tokens on the app.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they do, and they just do it in the Discord, and someone handles it, and it's always like. As long as someone's there in the Discord, it happens in like a minute. So it works out good. I mean, it's, you know, I've never seen more than like three tables going, but I haven't logged in a while. And he said like Fridays and Saturdays, they've been getting a game and a tournament, like a small cash game and a tournament pretty much every Friday and Saturday. Nice. And then sometimes they have PLO games, which I suck at, but it's good if you have ADD, because there's always like, there's just, almost every hand looks playable if you're not good at PLO.
Oh yeah, equities run closer together, so, and usually have like outs and stuff. So it's usually
correct to continue. You could like routinely flop the nuts and lose. It's pretty wild. But Timmy, how's it going, man? Chris, how you doing? Figure do a casual space.
Going well. How about you, Chris?
Doing good. What's up, guys?
Yeah, just want to, I don't know, see if we have any info we could share about what's been going on. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I miss just because my feed on Twitter is my feed on Twitter. And, you know, I see Nolas down there. Now you could use TIA staking derivatives to take out leases. I'm going to do that today probably because I'm not out of stable coins, but I don't want to like deploy what's left of my stable coins, and I don't want to unbond anything. I don't want to unstake anything that I've got. So I think I'm going to try the TIA staking derivatives because I do have some staked. And I talked to Milky Way last week. I had like a 20-minute quick call with them about Celestia staking, and they want to specialize in like modular LSDs. So maybe I'll use those.
I'm really curious. Does anybody know anything? I assume it's just a technical limitation, but like I want to see the instant unbond that Stride has for the hub come to other chains and other providers. I don't know if anybody has any insight on that above my head, but I've been waiting and I love
Kujira,
that.
Kujira is going to have one. That's the nutsack token.
Yeah, true. Yep. But I mean, Stride's here and working and proven and has liquidity, so it'll be interesting for them to add it too, rather than just an alternative. But I wonder like what the technical issue with it is. I wonder if they did it with the hub because sharing the Val set with like interchain security maybe allows it easier. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Is it an actual instant unbond, or are you just simply taking the staking derivative and swapping it in a liquidity pool for Atom?
So I think like the Atom you have staked technically, I actually don't know for sure, but I think it technically goes through a normal unbonding period. Stride just sort of fronts you SC Atom tokens in a way. Yes. Do not quote me on that. The only reason I think it works that way is one time I did the instant unbonding, it didn't work, like it something threw an error halfway through, and I had this weird placeholder token in my wallet that I could see on MintScan that was clearly supposed to be a sort of like representation, like a middle step or something like that. I got in touch with Stride support and got it figured out.
Dude, the same thing happened to me. So what Vishal told me is that it matters the validity of your stake too. They have to have self-bonded stake or it doesn't work. So if they don't have a lot of self-bond, you can't, yeah. So they're technically holding it as the validator that you stake with, is what I was told. So, but I want to jump in because I was literally having this conversation about the LSM. Like, of course, I think like everybody wants to see it everywhere, but I think it still has to go through governance. I think the biggest issue is that it's being underused. And I think like one of the things is like, why limit optionality? Like other ecosystems are already doing this. Like Solana already has like almost an instant unbonding period. Like you can go through Jito and they can instant unstake and then you can stake it into Jito. Like the hub is just so far behind. I just said Cosmos in general is so far behind on this. And I know Joe said Kujira is doing it. But like the issue with Kujira is like, it's only, you know, based off of Ghost and, you know, Ghost liquidity. So I think there needs to be a step forward with the LSM and stop fucking, dude, after coming back from the ETH conference, like there's so much fucking infrastructure. There's just like not enough like user facing applications and user facing like quality of life changes that I like that are out there. Like when going there, it's like L2s, ZK, like bridges for Bitcoins. Like, dude, we don't need this shit, dude. We need like actual, like a dust sweeper. Like how has nobody built a dust sweeper in Cosmos? Like that would be such a huge quality of life change, like swap into your favorite token. Like, but instead we focus on like making more DEXs. I just like, it drives me fucking crazy, man. It drives me nuts.
Man, I, sorry, on my live stream, I have Swiss from Crypto Chemistry pop in and talk about VC inflows into crypto because I don't follow that at all. So he's a good compliment for my live stream to give people that info. And almost everything that gets funded is infrastructure. So there's that, right? It's like it's being subsidized from the outside, so you just get more of it in the actual ecosystems is what it seems like to me. I don't know why there's such a recoil when it comes to funding app builders. Even if you go from chain to chain, I don't see that many. Like, obviously, you don't want to throw off the balance of competition either. You don't want to like favor one app builder over another if they're building similar stuff. You're picking winners and losers.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would think like if you had built an app in the past, you should be able to get funding from outside the ecosystem if your app is good in exchange for maybe some equity and or something like that.
The issue is too, it's like, remember when Timmy put his thing up for ICI? It's like people like were just complaining about the community pool. It's like we need to change the idea and just remove community pool and put growth and dev fund, because that's really what it is. It's like the issue is they use community pool to give people like this kind of vision that like they have, you know, a future in the company. And I've said this so, or blockchain, but I said this so many times, like imagine where Apple and all these companies would be at if they had the shareholders actually making the decisions that aren't in the day to day. So like, but there needs to be some sort of like actual communication. Like there should be like boards and stuff. Like I know a lot of people hate on AA DAO, but like, dude, they're actually trying to do something. And like, obviously it's easy to spend other people's money and it's easy to get behind that. But like what they are doing after talking to Johnny and like some of the guys at the conference, it's like, you got to respect what they're doing. It's like, somebody's going to spend the money. It's either going to go to stakers or it's going to go to validators. It's going to go to somebody. So you might as well have it go to somebody that's trying to grow the ecosystem. I know they've done a lot of work with ICS. They funded some shitty projects, but we also got some cool stuff like Amulet coming online and like Duality and like obviously Cosmos Millions. It was a flop, but like you're not going to get everything right. So
you don't need to get everything right. Yeah, I think with Accelerator DAO, and I think I see Bendy there. I think I said this maybe to Bendy a long time ago, before even the first Accelerator DAO prop was passed. I think that no matter what, Accelerator DAO is going to get a lot of scrutiny in the beginning because it takes a long time for these fundings to produce something valuable. Yeah. And they'll be like, for every one grand slam, you'll have like 9 or 10 failures, but the failures will always happen first, right? Yeah. So you have to think of it more like how a company would look at research and development, where you're going to burn through a bunch of money.
Literally.
If you hit that product or you hit that patent or you hit that grand slam, it doesn't even matter how much money you burned. You wouldn't have got to that point unless you did burn that money. Hey man, it's like buying NFTs. Think about how many frogs you have to kiss before you get an NFT that's worth something. Yeah.
Back it's crazy. It's, the one that, it's always the one you miss on Genesis, right?
Dude, only, I've missed fucking everything. I missed everything. My first NFT purchase, my first IBC transaction. Dude, my first IBC transaction was to move Atom tokens to Secret to mint MetaRats.
Yeah, dude.
My, if you look at the like history on my bad kid, it's someone minting or buying it for like 200 stars, and then sending it to me a couple months later, and that's it. Like, so I don't know what you're talking about, Joe. I only own a couple NFTs, and the average floor price pretty high.
Timmy hates NFTs, but he does the best with them. It looks like.
Yo, I bought all the shittiest ones. Like, I had Starface Punks, the fucking Baby Adam, all the ones.
God. Yeah. Dude, I thought IBC friends, I thought was gonna be like, I can't, because you know they had aspirations similar to what Timmy's doing. It just never materialized. They just either ran out of funding or they kept all their money in crypto.
Wait, what do you mean? They were trying to do an interchain info type thing or something else?
Yeah, it was going to be like a massive like landing
collaboration
page.
Right?
Yeah, it was going to have like NFT minting calendars. It was going to have profile pages for the different teams that were building. They had like the some of the bones were there, but I don't think they didn't raise enough money. They were going to do like a data insights hub, like kind of like info.stargaze.zone. So yeah. But it just, I minted that, and I'm like, you know what? It's actually a pretty cool NFT. I printed it out as a hologram, and I still have it. I have my MetaRat and my fucking IBC friends printed as like
an hologram. The fucking shittiest ones, bro.
MetaRats are about to make a comeback. You just watch.
They can. Right. I mean, they actually have some funding. They have more funding than most teams get from a mint. They have like,
actually, that's true. Yeah, unironically.
They have like, what about 30, Stargaze Troopers, dude? Grand. Come on.
What's that?
Stargaze Troopers, they're going to make a comeback.
How good was that fucking audio? That audio track is so good. I have it.
Dude, yeah. Next fucking, next Fergie. Man, you know,
we have creators in the audience now that are probably so pissed we're talking about all the rug pulls.
But I was gonna say something you were gonna say earlier. I just got caught up because of NFTs and I got burned, and Timmy's the only one with the bad kid out of all of us. Yeah, rub it in our face, don't you? But the VC funding
thing. Here's the thing though, I'm a man of my word, and I was given this NFT and told them, if you ever want it back, let me know. I'm never gonna sell it.
Pay it forward. Give it to me.
Hey, you want a bad kid?
Yeah. So here's the TLDR with like what Joe was saying. It's like the VC side, I've been saying this, is like they're just looking for straight up return on investment, and it's so easy to raise a shit ton of money. And like now you have things like Caldera and like Conduit spinning up. We can launch an L2 within seconds. I mean, you saw how much money Blast secured. So like until like it changes, like until that changes. I know Solana, I'm going to show Solana. I'm going to keep showing Solana and Sui because they've done a really good job. I mean, Sui kind of, but Solana's done a good job of funding consumer applications. Like the issue with crypto is like a lot of people are tribal and they stick to one ecosystem, and it's a flaw because they believe in one vision when like in the future, it's either going to be like a few or it's just not going to work out. And the banks are going to basically, and institutions are going to take what we built and they're going to use it and everyone's going to use that. So,
and it'll be private, right?
Well, you and I were talking about it. Citibank and JP Morgan are already doing it. So,
dude, my friend is very high up on, I don't know if he's in this space right now. No, he's not there. So I could talk about this. He won't listen to this. He's very high up in Citigroup. He's been working there for like 24, 25 years. He's like a director of special projects. They were trying to do this like 4 years ago with all this blockchain tech. And what happened was there was such gray area with regulations, and the tech just wasn't ready yet that they put it on hold. But they still did do research, and they still did produce these materials for their high profile customers and whatnot. And I would say as soon as that Ripple case went the way that it did, and there was the ETFs were on the horizon, they just accelerated all that development, and you have. They're using Axelar, they're using Avalanche, they're using Polygon, all these big institutions. I
Onyx is using Polygon, or sorry, is using Avalanche. Yeah, JP Morgan's.
Yeah.
Virginia.
Citigroup too. Sorry, I think Citigroup and JP Morgan both used Avalanche.
Yeah, but I know like Fidelity and like the issue is that here's the problem with like Cosmos and like Solana, and like trust me, I like both of them. It's just like they're going to go where the deepest liquidity is, and the $600 to $1,000 fee is nothing to them. I don't think people understand that. Like banks,
they have so much money.
Yeah, you agree because you're a realist. It's like until
I love that, the high gas fees on Ethereum should be something that the other chains aspire to.
Yeah, because they block spam. It's like Osmosis finally did it after so long. And I know FireDancer is doing it for Solana because that's like the only issue why it's not scalable is because the fees are nothing. And like that's why, you know, you have failed taxes because bots make things more efficient. I mean, it's just the truth. We're going to live in an AI world where, you know, a lot of these arbitrage bots and stuff are built and they make markets more efficient and they're good, you know, and it allows to execute like certain functions for like a protocol that they would have somebody do, and it takes a middleman out. But like, I think the institutions and stuff, like in reality, they're probably going to use Ethereum for a bit, and then they're going to take what Ethereum probably did wrong, and they're going to build their own private blockchains. They're still probably going to try to access the yield on L1, L2, and like these other blockchains. But like, you'd be crazy to think that like a bank that has billions, if not trillions of dollars, is not going to build their own blockchain and get all the value. And plus they can stop transactions. They can do everything. They can literally stop your funds. Like just because they're using blockchain tech, they're using blockchain tech for one thing, instant settlement. Instant settlement where they can get stuff on and off and not have to worry about the T+2 rule. Like that's the only reason why. Because right now it's like you go and trade in a brokerage account. Most people are like, why can't I get my money right away? It's because it's trade date plus 2 days. I mean, it's T+2. It's standard settlement. But like with blockchain, it's instant settlement. So, I mean, they're going to use that because imagine trading stocks on blockchain and you don't have to worry about getting your money out. You can get it out today. And that's going to be huge for them because it just adds more leverage into the system and they can leverage it. And it's a lot easier. They don't have to worry about not posting collateral on shorts and stuff. I think it's going to be really interesting to see where the future goes with institutions and people and kind of where blockchain fits from private to public, you know, things like Secret Network after going to like the frictionless event. And I think Shade now finally has like a target market. I think a lot of people are starting to realize that. So, there is some exciting stuff in Cosmos. It's just like people need to be realistic with their expectations. Like institutions are coming. If anybody says that, unfollow them instantly. Please do yourself a favor. Unfollow them. Because
what you're saying is right. And my buddy that works for Citigroup, he said basically that every single asset is going to be traded on chain partially for the reason that you just said. And I wonder if it's going to look like the institutions basically custodying everything while trading happens with derivatives, you know, tokenized representations on chain 24/7. And like you said, those gas fees are absolutely nothing to them because they're saving money. And they just look at that
game. They're saving a shit ton of money.
Yeah. So who cares if they have to pay, you know, I heard about a company.
They don't have to pay a warehouse. They don't need a warehouse. Why do you need a warehouse?
Yeah. They're going to eliminate so many
people. Are you guys talking about Ethereum gas fees?
Yeah. We love
it. Why?
As institutions.
Why do you think banks are going to touch Ethereum? I agree with the other thing you guys just said. They're going to have their own chains and use Chainlink CCIP to connect to other stuff when needed.
Do you want me to say it again? Liquidity. That's the only reason why. They'll tap into liquidity. There's no liquidity that's sufficient for a big institution to move around except on L1. Until there's liquidity else places, I agree with you that it'll probably move to L2s if liquidity is efficient. But if it's not efficient, why would they take heavy slippage? But like, if you're going to try to move $1 billion and, you know, make these massive trades, like you'd rather pay the gas fee that's $600 and get better.
Well, what kind of trade?
Like, let's say they want to swap in between securities. Let's say they have securities on blockchain and they use it. Ethereum's going to have them. I mean, eventually.
Right, but it doesn't right now. And they're making their own blockchains. They're going to put all the liquidity they need for their types of assets on their own chains.
Yeah.
Why would they use Ethereum at all?
They need people to do that. Like, unless they're going to buy Ethereum and make a market for it, like, there's a lot of complexities that go with supporting your own chain and liquidity. Like, why use, like, you have to pay for it.
Well,
like,
I guess, let me back up. My question is, are you talking about banks letting people trade crypto assets?
I'm not talking about banks. I'm more talking about like wirehouses, brokerages, like Fidelity and stuff. Like banks are probably going to have their own blockchain because they control people's money. But like something like Fidelity or Vanguard, like they have their ETFs and like maybe they can use the ETF spot to like put it on chain. I don't really know.
Okay. What they're
like Onyx, they want the yield in DeFi for sure. I know they do. And like they're not going to deploy. I'm saying maybe that's where I need to go with, and maybe that's where I'm confusing people. It's like they're going to go after the yield on a place where it's somewhat safe, which is Ethereum, and where there's liquidity. So like they'll deploy. Like I'm telling, they're going to deploy $1 billion. Like banks manage trillions. They're not going to put all their money on chain, but they'll put $1 billion or so on chain to collect the yield. They'll use Aave. They'll use Maker. They'll use that. They're not going to go use like Margin Fi or like Umi. Like there's no liquidity there. They're going to try to figure out a place where they can, you know, they can spend reasonable money, like $600 for transaction fees. Obviously a lot for us, but for them, they're like, okay, that's the pay to play for security. That's the pay to play for liquidity. You know, we're going to deploy the assets and collect the yield. Cause the issue is what I have is like, if they do have a private blockchain and people don't use it, where's the yield going to come from? Like they're after the yield. Like instant settlement is a different route. And I agree with you that they're going to have their own chain, collect all the value 100%. Like, that is an argument that people that if they're arguing the opposite, like you need to go look at what Joe talked about, like Citi, JP Morgan, Fidelity, even Vanguard's planning on doing something now, even though they're so far behind. But eventually, like they're going to have their own private blockchains. But if they're going to go after the crypto yield, which is like the native yield, which the users use, and like all these big VC and investment funds out in Silicon Valley and all over the world, yeah, they're probably going to use Ethereum, at least for the time being. Unless liquidity goes elsewhere, yeah, they'll probably use that. But that's the point I was making. So Timmy, we agree. I was just probably not making any sense.
No. Make total sense now. Yeah, we do.
I was going to add on to that. Solana is putting the chips in place for smaller businesses with those token standards. I think are absolute game changers, and they don't get enough attention. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, Solana
SPLs,
they call them token extensions. They have like 10 or 12 different token standards now, so that if you're a business and you want to deploy something on Solana that requires a token, you can pick and choose between these different token standards, even combine them. So
I saw that. Yeah.
So that like let's say
you want NFTs too. That which is fucking nuts.
Say that again.
Compressed NFTs. They have compressed NFTs now, so it's at like one fraction of the cost of deploying like an ERC. I don't even know 1447. Like what's the standard on Ethereum?
721.
I heard Mert talking about it on a podcast, and it's like the efficiency of having compressed NFTs, and like that's why Drip House can like scale, as that it's so cost efficient to like send NFTs to people's wallets, and it doesn't cost them much to create and send them, versus like if you were going to do the regular NFT standard, you can compress them. I don't really know how the technology works, but I mean people smart.
The way it looks is you could flip on and off these different token extensions depending on the type of token that you need to launch. And it's going to be a huge advantage for stablecoin issuers, because depending on your jurisdiction, you might need the token extension for KYC, or you might need the token extension for privacy, or you might need the token extension for being able to reverse transactions. Right?
Oh, yeah. I saw that with private transactions. Yeah.
It doesn't affect any other token on the blockchain except for your token. So you could have a permissionless network with a token that, let's say, whatever the use case might be, let's say it's for payments, something like PayPal, let's say, the company can go in and reverse that one token payment if there's some kind of mistake or whatnot. So that's going to be attractive, I think, to businesses that need to stay in compliance, especially in the West.
Solana's so far ahead when it comes to consumer-facing applications. Like I was reading something about Teleport today, which is like an Uber hybrid using the Solana blockchain, is like cutting majority of the costs. And obviously it's like optimistic. I don't think it's going to replace Uber, and it probably will fail. But like the ideas like that, it's like, why aren't we trying to build those and leverage those in Cosmos? It's like, yeah, here's another L1 chain with a money market and like a DEX. It's like, okay, the point of a DEX cannot be to trade the DEX token. I remember I was talking to somebody at the conference, and they're like, yeah, the whole point of the DEX cannot be to trade the DEX token. Like that's what's the point of that? Speculation? It's like at that point, like we're just going to keep speculating and speculating, but I'll concede. I know Pantera's in the audience and there's some big news today. Some big news.
For Pantera, I don't know what it is.
You don't know the news? Look at your PFP.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I think they're just going to draw this out for like the entire bull run. It's going to be just Doquan in the news every week. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I think
I think he's going to beat the case.
Yeah, but then he has to go beat it in South Korea. And in South Korea, in Asia in general, I live there. Like the way contracts work in Asia, the way business works in Asia, and the way fraud works in Asia, it's not the same as going to trial in the United States. It's like, it's almost like you're expected to incur losses when you do these investments, and when that happens, the person in charge is automatically doing prison time because
they
equate a fraud with just simply people losing money, and it's
crazy. Like,
yeah, it's very different over there. And
why doesn't he seek like refuge somewhere or something? Like, can he not? They said they won't extradite him.
He tried to, but he's got close ties to that part of the world where he got caught, right? Serbia. He was using Bitcoin ATMs, but I was watching a prosecutor from South Korea interviewing about this, and he said that in South Korea they've already prosecuted and wrapped up a bunch of cases with co-conspirators related to Terra, and they think that since the evidence exists mostly in South Korea, I guess they mean the witnesses and like the communications and stuff, that they want him there. They don't want him to go to trial in the United States. And they think that it's going to be the biggest fraud case ever. He's looking at like 40 plus years in South Korea. So he'd have he'd have to beat it in the United States, which I think is possible. But in South Korea, it's like the public will want blood because a rich guy ripped off a bunch of people in their eyes, right? So it's just different over there. It really is different.
Dude, that's crazy. Like in reality, it's like what he did was just like we were just like the problem with Terra is like people just thought like, oh, the 20% yield was sustainable. But then the day in like crypto, like people, it's your fault, man. You fucking lose money in a DPEG. Like you knew the risk. Like it was a seniorage fucking algorithmic stablecoin. Like don't act like you like the problem with people in crypto. And it's like very, this is why I side with people that don't want to build consumer products. Is like I'm trying to build one. It's just like, you're basically taking a bunch of responsibility. And if you give your users like a great user experience, like the upside's pretty capped, but like the downside's unlimited. So like if you lose people money, if your smart contracts get hacked, like you take all the liability. But if you make money, like, and they make money on your platform, it's not, you have nothing to do with that. It's all them. So like, it's like, why build consumer products when you could just build a stupid piece of infrastructure in an L2 and take no risk and print tokens and people will love you. Great example, Starkware. People just like, as soon as they had a horrible TGE event, and then they're like, you know what? We're still going to fuck people on the airdrop, but we're going to lock the tokens and not emit them. And people are like, yeah, Starkware. It's like, dude, they still fucking fuck so many people on the airdrop. And people immediately forgot about it as soon as they said they were going to lock the tokens. So like, I kind of like, am like at this medium where like building consumer apps is like really important. But like I also side with people that don't want to do it because it's a lot of risk and the rewards really like, it's really not there because most people just want to fucking speculate and gamble. And if they can't do it on your platform or like you lose them money, unlimited fault. But again, if they make money and you had nothing to do with it, like your token is worthless. I traded Osmosis and I made a bunch of money. Nobody says thank you, Sunny Agarwal. They don't say that. It's just,
I'm with you. And also like you said, you touched on, it's a lot of this is just like thinly veiled gambling by very inexperienced investors who maybe have never even dealt with the stock market at all. Right? Like you have people like, if everybody stops selling the tokens, they'll go to 1 million. Meanwhile, like in the stock market, if you can make 1% on a trade in like a 6-hour window, you do it every time. In crypto, it's like 1%. That's like losing money. Like why would I ever close out? Dude, I did it yesterday. Like an idiot, I was playing with leverage on Kinetics, and I didn't want to set my leverage to like a reasonable amount because it would have been like an odd number. It would have been like 31x 31.5x leverage. So I'm like, no, I need it to be an even number. So I made it 35, and I got liquidated even though Bitcoin went up 7% yesterday, because I caught like the only red candle of the day, and it liquidated me by like $10. If I just set my leverage like to a reasonable 31 instead of 35, I would be up huge, right? It's just dumb shit like that is allowed in crypto. And then you wonder why they have all the rules for the accredited investors. You know, you need $1 million, you need some other assets that are semi-liquid. You know, it's just like, I almost don't blame the regulators that look at this space and they just throw up.
Did Mike just get booted? I couldn't hear him, and I see him off the stage. Let's see. Are we good, or are we all rugging?
I think good now.
I got rug. I don't know what happened.
You know, I couldn't hear you when you I could see that you were talking, but I couldn't hear you at all. But anyway, I don't know. What's like the Cosmos news? You went to ETH Denver. Timmy's working hard on stuff. Got Chris actually building like a project, legitimate, that people can use. Like what's going on in Cosmos that people maybe are missing or should pay attention to?
I think we should let Timmy go. I'll go last. I think
sure.
I'm talking to do a lot of talking.
I'm not super sure. I was actually hoping to get some of that from you guys. I took the weekend completely off this past weekend, and then yesterday was super busy for me as well as Friday. So I haven't like even scrolled my Twitter timeline that much or looked at various news sources. There's a couple things I've seen coming through ICI, but I don't know what is an easier question to ask. What like dApps do people use daily or have you used in the past week? Like what actual protocols are just being commonly used? Like Joe and Mike is the two people on stage.
Osmosis, man. Like literally it's really the only one. Like it's crazy. It's because it's hard. I mean sometimes Astroport, but like the DEX is like because there's no cool like I would use Amulet. Like Amulet seems like something to be really interesting because it allows you to basically have lossless investments. I hate to say that, but it really is the truth because you're not going to get liquidated. You don't have to worry about like keeping your LTV low, and like it's a self-repaying loan, which is a huge, 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 I think, ad. And it's a huge UX ad in Cosmos because like a lot of people are like, fuck this, I lost all my money, so I'm going to leave. So I think Amulet's exciting. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I was saying I did a space with them, and yeah, it seems like they built something that people would immediately use. So what is it? You're using your stake tokens, which are
So it's similar to Alchemix on L1. So like Alchemix is the first people to come up with it. Scoopy Truples is his name. It's essentially they'd use Yearn ETH vaults to pay back the loan, and it was their own stable coins. It's like their own dollar, so they could have control over it, and like, I guess incentive to get people. It's kind of like, you know, who was doing this was they were doing it with UST, but it never launched. Kinetic, maybe Kinetic Finance or something. I think they were trying to do it with UST. It's been tried a couple times. The only one that I've seen successful is Alchemix so far, because you do have to launch your own stable coin, so you have control over the inflows and outflows. It's a lot easier. So I'm trying to think what else I've seen that's exciting. Really, that's it, man. Because it's like, fucking more DEXs, more money markets. It's like more perps. It's like, when are we going to get something that's like an original idea that nobody's come up with? Like nobody gives a shit about PCL, contractor liquidity, like cool. But users don't understand that. I guess like, I think Quasar is interesting. I think look and like Apollo, because then you like, you're basically like taking the hands-off approach to liquidity provision, which is a huge value add. Like I know people have hammered Quasar before about like them being out of range, which like sucks, but like obviously it's in beta. I'm trying to think what else. Like Sommelier is obviously cool. The only thing that sucks is it's ETH and you have to pay a shit ton of gas fees. NFTs, Stargaze, Omniflix. I mean, the normal. I've been using Stargaze. I will say that. That's a product that I use. I've been using
Stargaze, man. Do you guys see the data for Stargaze users? They have the same number of active wallets over the last 30 days as they had at Genesis.
I've been messing around with Shade, honestly, recently. And like the UX has been unbelievably better than it was when I used it like 6 months ago, 8 months ago. So
yeah,
I can say the UX has gotten a lot better with the viewing keys and stuff like that. And I know they're going to launch their own L2. Trying to go I'm just going to try to Archway. Obviously, I love those guys. Like Max, Mike Griffin. Like, I talked to them. They're really optimistic on what they're building. Nobody's trying to build what they're building. You know, gas monetization, L1, which nobody's really tried. I think like Blast maybe, or I can't remember. So somebody else does it. Is it Phantom? Phantom might be the only other blockchain that does it. So if you're like a builder and you want to build a product that not necessarily collects a lot of value and like the token and stuff like that, you can still have a lot of token, like basically have a lot of revenue from gas monetization. You know, Passage, I watched something with that, got Passage and Akash with Greg and Lex, and they're obviously building like these worlds and gaming. You know, you have Strange
Passage Planet. Man, imagine, yeah. Think about how close Passage was to deploying as an app on Juno. I bet they're happy they launched.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, I don't even want to talk about Juno because that's just a shit show. I'm like, even like Neutron, I guess, is really optimistic because you need like an L1 smart contracting platform. And I wish it would just be on the hub, but there's really no use for Neutron. Partial Set Security is really interesting. Ethos is coming to Cosmos, which is essentially Ethereum security. Just be careful of EigenLayer. Just after the conference and just hearing everything, restaking this modular, this seems like a lot of buzzwords. I'm trying to think what else. I know Anisha and Barrachain are launching soon. Barrachain, I think, is going to be interesting from a yield perspective. I don't really know how it's going to work from the tri-token model, but we'll see. And I think there's a lot of bots on the testnet. Anisha, I think, is the most interesting, just like pairing together liquidity for the roll-ups and having a central place of liquidity, which is like super needed, especially if the roll-up thesis works. I don't know if they're a direct competitor with Osmosis, but I think that is interesting. I know Mitosis is another thing. It's like, there's just so much shit to keep up with. Like, I'd rather just let it play out on its own and like kind of pick the winners after and like let the people speculate. Cause like, that's kind of what I did with Celestia. Obviously I get the airdrop and stuff, but I think the DA space is overcrowded, and I don't think anybody's going to test Celestia. That's just my opinion, obviously, but I just think the DA is going to come commoditized. And I don't think Celestia is really worried about making money. I think they're really worried about like market share and like FDV and just valuation. You're just going to value it off how useful it is. Cause like there is things like Avail and stuff launching, but the go-to-market and being plugged in the Cosmos SDK is so useful. Like, I don't think people like the app chain thesis versus like Avail, something like Avail launching. Like, I don't know. I think that's it, maybe. And I think I'm probably missing something. Hold on. Let me think.
I mean, Injective is still ripping, right? Like, in terms of
users. Stay away with anything with Canav, bro. Like, jump Capital, man. You do not want to be on the wrong side of their trade. You do not. Anything that's sponsored by Jump, just know who you're swimming with. Like, Injective is cool, but like in reality, it's like fast L1 space. Solana owns that space. Like, if you've ever used Solana or Injective, you cannot say you prefer Injective over Solana as a user. Even Sui. Like, I like Sui a lot. Trust me. Like, I've been using Sui. I did a write up on Sui. If you want to go check it out, you can. But Sui is fast. It's cool. Dynamic NFTs, super great for gaming. Super cool for like community NFT projects. But in reality, is like, there's really no community there. The apps are just basically copy and paste. Their only deep end project is a copy and paste of Helium. So like, I think it's probably worth checking it out. Like, long-term, I could see like move based blockchains being interesting and very niche, but like in reality is like Injective and say, okay, you have a billion TPS, but you have empty blocks. What's the point? You know, you have no users. So like the only thing I've used on maybe I just don't use Injective. That's probably my fault, but like I won't use Astroport and that's it. So, and I know like they've had a couple projects. They haven't been very kind to builders, I've heard. I don't shit on Injective, but you know, I can't get behind anybody that like doesn't want people to build on their chain. That's why I hate Say. You know, I'm friends with Simon Chadwick, and like they really fucked him when he was trying to launch Eclipse. So can't get behind anybody that doesn't want developers on their ecosystem, and they're more worried about raising money because they have a bunch of bots on their chain, and that's how they, you know, do an extra raise after they screw all the people building on their chain. Now, you could say, can come at me. I don't give a shit. Like, you know me, I voice my opinion. This is recorded, so you can go back and listen to it if you're from Say. And just answer the questions. Where was the airdrop you're supposed to drop to everybody? You know? And what about the builders?
Hey, I did a space with them like a year ago, and there were so many bots in that space.
Yeah. An ex-Google. What did you expect?
For like 6 months,
No, the bots were still commenting on the Twitter space like 8 months later. And I was like, shit. I was trying to do giveaways. Every person I clicked on was a bot.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, I did a test and like, you can go check like the Nibiru chain. So I was like, okay, if I retweet Nibiru stuff, am I going to get Nibiru bots? Bro, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I think it's I retweeted
a lot of money.
Yeah. I was like, I retweeted two things and I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. And I just like stopped. And I did all the quests and all that just to see if like it was worth doing. And then I thought about it and like Ed from Airdrops One was like, this is the way not to do an airdrop. And I was like, yeah, probably should not be doing this. Just immediately unfollowed, left the Discord, did all that stuff. So, because the problem is like, if I retweet it, people will probably who follow me that might not know as much retweet it and like it. Like, this is probably a good project. So like, sometimes you got to be careful what you retweet and stuff. Cause there's people who follow you that might not know as much. So you gotta be very careful what's on your feed. But yeah, that's my TLDR on Cosmos stuff. Nibiru. Oh, I forgot one more. That's really exciting, dude. Honestly, after hearing about Anoma, I know it's big brain stuff, but like intense and like being able to swap anything into anything and making markets more efficient, like that is super exciting. So like, I know Anoma is going to take a while to launch, but after hearing, you know, I can't remember his name, but he was a moderator. And then he talked about Anoma, like very bullish on Anoma, not the token. I don't know how the token's going to do, but like the actual software, very, very bullish on that for UX.
Man, I wish I got to go to Denver. I'm going to have to go next year. I have to plan that out better.
No, I want to go with a birthday party on Sunday with you next time. You need a plus one.
What birthday party?
Didn't you say you had a birthday party on Sunday or something? Isn't that why you couldn't go?
Oh, I was the worst shit ever, man. My cousin's kid turned 5. Deal. We go there. We've been doing. They teach the kids how to do the stupid chicken dance and stuff. Oh my god, it was so bad. It was so bad.
Yeah, but I know Chris is in here. I know Chris. Chris is pretty involved in and I know with Omniflix, and obviously you have your own project. So,
yeah, good to listen to you, Mike. You brought a lot of interesting points up. Yeah, Joe, I'll be honest, dude. This is my laziest, like my laziest leap into a bull market in probably my entire crypto history. Like, I haven't paid attention to anything lately. As far as what I've been using, though, definitely Astro Vault over on Archway. Huge fan. Like,
I forgot about Astro Vault. Those guys are going to kill me. I love that team, man. Dude, they're such.
Yeah, dude, that team is awesome. I think what they're building is awesome. They came on the OmniFlix space. They also came on our space that we do on Fridays and talked about some of the cool stuff they're going to do with NFTs. Over on that DEX. And man, I think Archway is going to be, I don't know, man, I just have a good feeling about Archway. So other than that, been chilling with the Quorum guys, learned a little bit about that, trying to decide what we think about XRP liquidity moving over to Cosmos and the possibility of, you know, Cosmos based assets moving over onto XRPL and what that could look like or how that could benefit both ecosystems. Other than that, dude, I've been kind of lazy. I've just been watching the Bitcoin price and wondering, are we finally going to see a new ATH prior to a halving, which will be the first time in the history of Bitcoin? I don't think so, but it's been fun to watch that teeter this week. And then other than that, dude, just working on my project. There's a fight this weekend, so just making NFTs. Excited to see OmniFlix DAO is launching soon. For everyone that knows, mine's going to be a very DAO-heavy on the actual gameplay itself, so more news on that coming soon. Other than that, I've just been chilling.
I forgot to mention, dude, honestly, Farcaster. Like, I was hating on it for a while, but I've been using it. I use it just as much as Twitter. Like, if you haven't checked out Farcaster, it's 100% worth it.
Do I need a code for that? Amanda sent me, I think she sent me an invite twice, and I'm like, do I really want another freaking social media thing on my phone?
It's good, man. Honestly, I like it a lot. Like, I'm not just saying.
What is it, Mike? Fogcaster?
Farcaster. It's like, it's an Ethereum based social, but like, it's not like decentralized social, like when you make money, when you tweet and stuff like that. Like, it's pretty good at targeting bots. And like, that's the reason why I like to use it. And it's very niche where it's only crypto people. So if I want to see crypto centric stuff on like Cosmos and stuff like that, they have these like subset forums. It's more of like a Twitter and Reddit combined. So like what they have is like, you have your timeline, which is people you follow. But then you have these community groups where you can like essentially like talk to like Cosmos people, and they can see your tweets if they follow the thread. It's like, what I'll do is I'll join ones that like I am interested in. Like I'm on the Sweet One, Cosmos one. I have one for wrestling. You know, and you like comment in there, and you can have conversations with people. Like there's this another cool thing called frames, which is interesting. So like frames are essentially like, you know, they put these smart contracts within, you know, the social media, and like without leaving, because you have to connect your wallet. You have to make, you sign, you don't connect your wallet. So there's really nothing on the sign where like you can get your funds drained and stuff like that. I don't really know how the back end works, but so you can essentially like mint NFTs to retweet stuff and get token allocation, stuff like that for the people that want to speculate. That's interesting. But like, I think it's really cool what they're building. Like it's the best decentralized social that I've seen so far. So like it's not Cosmos related. I mean, obviously there's Cosmos stuff on there, but if you want to check it out, you should.
I might have to check it out. Amanda told me there's lots of females on there too. Is that true?
Yeah, there is. There's like girls in crypto, no shortage. Like, yeah, there's a lot. There is. Like they exist.
Would have never guessed. D-Cell, I gave you the mic a while ago and then you left and came back, but you got the mic now. You could definitely chime in with what you were going to talk about earlier. And then we got this guy, Bruce, and then Mayor. Never seen them up before. Maybe they can introduce themselves.
Hello?
Hey, Bruce, I remember when Bruce fell down the stairs.
That wasn't me. I think you're kind of getting me confused with Robo.
Oh, you guys fucking are the same to me.
Bruce. Let me ask you a question, Bruce. How do you get fired from Rack FM? Like, how did that happen?
I didn't get fired. I put up the prop myself to leave the DAO and thereby the organization. So, yeah, I fired myself, if that's the correct American term. I went all democratic, yeah. Right?
Nice. So you passed your firing through the DAO. That's interesting.
Yeah. How are you doing, Joe? Long time no see.
So you ran away with all the money?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was a lot of money I ran away with.
$40?
Oh, bro. I ran away with less than I arrived with. I'm just kidding. There was no money. It was just me leaving the fucking DAO. That's it.
Well, I didn't see any spaces the last few days for Rack FM. I don't know if Robo blocked me again or what, but I was home from work yesterday and today. I was hoping to listen to some Robo spaces, and I didn't see them.
Why would Robo out here blocking you? What?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Well, I blocked him for like a couple months, and then he blocked me.
Is his account banned right now?
Yeah,
or did it get back?
That is permanently banned.
But why? Joe, that sounds like a relationship I was in.
It's probably good for everybody on Twitter that he's blocked.
Yeah, I think he's the only account Elon Musk blocked, I think, all of Twitter. I think they blocked him like the week after they reinstated Trump.
Bring back Alex Jones, block Robo.
Yeah. No, I haven't listened to a Robo space in a while. It's always in. He starts his spaces basically the minute I start work. So I can't start work screwing around my phone.
But literally, aren't all your clients screwing around with their phones?
Oh yeah, no. My all my coworkers, they're like on Amazon like the entire day at work. I've never logged into any personal accounts on a work computer. They have doing that.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Imagine having such a boring life that in your free time to kill, you just browse Amazon with the whole internet at your fingertips.
Oh, be aware, Timmy. I think most of us are doing the same thing, but just with like deck screeners and CoinMarketCap and CoinGecko.
Yeah, exactly. Right? One you can make money off of, one you can waste money on. Well, both you can potentially waste money on business,
dude. What are you talking about? That's what they're doing. They're doing product market research. Come on, dude. E-commerce store.
Oh, they're seeing which number two pencils will be best fit for next year, huh?
I don't even have an Amazon account, and I can vouch for them. They're definitely doing product research.
How do you not have an Amazon account? Are you a real person?
Yeah, I use Walmart. I don't like Amazon.
Interesting.
I have a grudge against Amazon because when we had the COVID lockdowns, the only cars that you would see were Amazon trucks, and I was like, it's not fair that they're allowed to like drive around and have fun, and no one else is allowed.
Amazon's been trying to win back Joe's ever since then. He's been sending them free packages, everything. Can't win them back.
I hear Bezos sent you a booty pic even.
Yeah, they're going to send me a postcard for my birthday with a $5 coupon probably.
Oh, wait, did you guys see that tweet by Grayscale? Everyone's getting so hyped that Grayscale is going to hold Adam. Like, come on, Grayscale's unanimous for dumping shit. This is not, that's a bullish tweet. I don't know if people have seen that. It's like just came out.
They held a lot of tokens that dumped really hard in the bear market. Yeah,
Stellar Lumens. Go look up.
Litecoin. They have a Litecoin fund.
If you want to see what's coming for Chainlink, go look at Grayscale's Chainlink Trust chart. Just saying.
Yeah, it's called the GDIF, Grayscale Dynamic Income Fund. You know what it's going to be used for? To pay back all the people they owe money from fucking Genesis like me.
I don't know what any of that is.
So Genesis was like essentially their holding company, and like their partners with Gemini. It's like their lending desk. So essentially what they were doing is they were taking that money and either investing it or lending it to other people. And then this is a whole clusterfuck and they got blown up. So they owe Gemini a shit ton of money. They've been in a lawsuit with them forever. I was a dumbass that kept some money on there. It wasn't a lot, but I mean, it wasn't a lot at the time. Like one of the assets was synthetics, and synthetics was worth peanuts when I bought it. now it's up to like $4. So I'm like, give me my fucking money. But it's been synthetics stuck.
Like an OG ERC-20 token. I remember when I first started learning about Ethereum, it was like synthetics, injective, sandbox, like all synthetics.
They came up with essentially like farm rewards, like DeFi, like yield farming. Synthetics was the originator of yield farming. If people don't know that, but synthetics is like the OG inflation yield farming. They came up with yield farming. But I've been bullish on synthetics forever just because it, like, I think it's hard to get like the stablecoin down with the debt pool, and they've done a really good job of it. Like synthetic stakers are essentially the debt pool for SUSD, and like the downside's protected, and the upside's pretty good because like most traders lose money and they're trading with SUSD, so those fees go to stakers. And then like they're planning on essentially launching this thing called Infinix, which is like a sex experience with, okay, that's a really bad word, but like a centralized exchange experience with still being in DeFi. I know how people hammered Hyperliquid because everyone was shilling Hyperliquid and they basically fucked people and haven't given their money back. I've never heard that happen with Coenta, Lyra, and everything that's built on top of synthetics. I mean, the thing is that people hate on like Michael Agorov and Kane because they have these massive mansions. Like, go look at these fucking people that launch nothing. Unuseful products. Go look at the houses that they live in. Like the VCs that back like these early blockchains that did absolutely dog shit, or the founders of the blockchain that did dog shit. Like if you have a product that's valuable and people buy the token, you have every right to exercise capital, like capital, just extracting capital. So like people shit on Curve. It's like Curve essentially came with VA tokenomics, which aren't perfect, but like people still use it. It's got the most dynamic swap fees, better than Uniswap. You have these pools with multiple assets. People took Curve's model and innovated on top of it, but yet people still say Michael Agorov's an idiot. It's like all this shit we speculated on came from these three products. So go fuck yourself. Like seriously, I would rather have the products and people make money off the products and be incentivized to build more of the products versus not make any money. And then also we don't have anything to speculate on. Or if we do, it's something happens like at FTX where like it's a centralized exchange is the only place you can do it. So that was a long a long spiel.
Dude, everybody should stop selling their tokens and everything will go up forever.
That's so true, dude. Shiba Inu. I got so many. I actually, here's a little alpha. My uncle called me yesterday about Shiba Inu. So I think we're getting there, at least on the local end. How do I, dude, I got so many, a million ship coins. What if it goes to a dollar? I'm like, fuck. I called my cousin. I called my brother. I'm like, listen, I think top's got to be close.
I was just in Trader Joe's, and they have like two cashiers at each register. Like one person is putting it in the bags and the other person's just talking, I guess. And they were talking about Bitcoin, and the lady's like, what even is Bitcoin? And then the guy who was bagging the groceries, he's like, he goes, you just got to wait for the next cycle. It's too expensive now. I bought like $200 a few years ago, and that's enough. I was just laughing. $200.
Yeah. Dude, Joe, do you ever just like get in and like, yeah, because like, when people ask me about crypto, I just like act like I know nothing. I'm like, yeah, the fucking Bitcoin, what the fuck it's called? Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
I literally pretend I don't know anything.
Same. I'm like, what the fuck are NFTs? So people pay money for pictures online? I'm like, that's the dumbest thing ever.
I never talk to anyone about any of this shit at all. Like, I unless the person knows more than me, I have no desire to get in the conversation, especially like, if I'm at like a bar or something, the last thing I want is like a buzzkill conversation about fucking Shiba Inu or fucking Bitcoin Cash, one of those garbage.
It's always XRP. Here are the ones I hear the most. XRP, Cardano, the dog coins, and then recently a lot of, which is fucking crazy, is Phantom. Like, so many people are like, dude, FTM is going to go up. I'm like, who the fuck? Like,
my timeline on Twitter blew up the last couple of days with Phantom tweets
because it's up. Dude, I will never get burned by Phantom again. I remember I was big on Phantom when like there wasn't very many L1s, and like Andre like, all respect to Andre, like he came up with Urine, another guy that people hate on. I kind of hate on him because he just like punked out and was like, I'm done. Like, I was burnt out after launching, I think, what was the product called, Solidly, when it was like essentially the VE33, which like a lot of projects like Velodrome and stuff adopted. Again, you gotta thank the guy. He like basically made the biggest decks on Optimism. But dude, I remember when I was in Phantom and I was like, dude, this is sick. Like, this is all gonna go up, and he just rage quit. And I leveraged Phantom against USDC, and I watched like 8,000 Phantom just go to just absolute zero. And I was like, damn it. That at that point it was at like $2. So I was like, oh, man, I just lost all my
money. I bought Phantom. I bought a whole bunch of tokens like right before the market reversed, like in October. I bought Phantom. I bought Stacks. I bought
you and Hal Press Boys. Is that why you bought Stacks?
No, I wanted like more volatile exposure to Bitcoin.
What about like Alex and like Syscoin, like all these other Bitcoin L2s? Not to change the conversation, but like, I think Bitcoin L2s are the most underpriced assets in the space right now, because there's just so much money sitting out
there. I follow it. It's so hard to keep up with. But they're basically, they've created these tokens that can mint other tokens, almost like proof of stake. Like, you could basically like mint a token, and they're called
Stacks has done that. Is that you're talking about?
Not Stacks, but this is directly on Bitcoin. They're minting these tokens that mine other tokens. They're not really mining, they're controlling the emissions of inflationary tokens on Bitcoin, almost like proof of stake tokens.
What is this? You gotta send this to me. This just sounds super interesting.
They're called runes, RUNES, and
oh yeah, I've heard about them. I just haven't done any research.
And there's like a big developer who's gonna airdrop this competing rune model to a bunch of wallets that holding inscriptions.
Like, the innovation is happening on Bitcoin right now. Like,
if you go to any Bitcoin Twitter space where they're talking about inscriptions, atomicals, runes, anything like that, the conversation is a lot different than any other DeFi Twitter space, because they don't mess around at all.
Because the block space is super expensive, so you really can't.
They can't mess around. And if these guys want to airdrop stuff, which is what this big rune airdrop is, they pay for it themselves. It's going to cost them it's like a $10 million to airdrop this bullshit.
Dude, I fucking love that. That's awesome. Because like,
they're paying for it themselves. Because they
the Threshold team at Denver. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Threshold. It's like TBTC. And they were talking a lot about like how that Bitcoin L2s and like basically anything on Bitcoin is like the most underpriced asset. And that's like just such a massive amount of liquidity and a massive amount of dollars in circulation that's stagnant and not doing anything. Like, you're never going to get the hardcore Bitcoiners like stack Bitcoin, no innovation. All right, fuckers, go fucking buy gold then at that point. Like, what's the point of Bitcoin if you can't use it? Like, that's the issue with a lot of the Bitcoin community is like they're not forward thinking and they hate everything and they don't try anything. Like, you had that one asshole. You
know, it's gonna be forced upon them because it's the only thing that's going to make the network sustainable right now.
100%. You can't, dude, miners have to make money, bro. Like, or there's no incentive there's no incentive. Yeah.
I saw a report that said if Bitcoin's under 60,000 the day of the halving, the miners are at loss. Yeah. So, That's centralized, right?
I mean, the only people can compete with it is massive institutions that could take the loss and that can basically hold Bitcoin in perpetuity because they have other businesses like Marathon and Marathon Digital is one of them that's going to buy everything. Like, Marathon literally already controls the fucking gas industry. Not really. I mean, OPEC, obviously, and Saudi oil. But like, if Marathon gets a chance to buy a lot of these miners because these basically these farms can't be sustainable, that is a huge hit for Bitcoin. So, I mean, this is your space, Joe. I mean, you're on Bitcoin more than anybody. Like, you got to show me why like these things are so important for block space and sustainability.
Number one, it drives up the fees collected for the miners. So it secures the chain a lot better than just relying on inflation. I made the mistake of trying to learn about this stuff before I started buying it. And I wish I just bought the shit and then learned about it after the fact, because I was like, a couple of weeks too late, you know, with inscriptions, and it would have been a lot better for me personally. But I'm enjoying this unraveling of DeFi on Bitcoin right before our eyes, while everyone ignores it, including Bitcoiners. It's pretty wild. So anyway, what's up, Funky? How you doing, man?
Good. Yeah, I've been listening and just enjoying the conversation largely, and I wanted to just kind of piggyback on what Mike was saying because I was there at ETH Denver. It may as well have been fucking Bitcoin Denver as much as Bitcoin activity was happening. Mike probably ran into the threshold people at the Bitcoin Renaissance event at RealWorks, which is where last year Cosmos had the shared security summit that was hosted by Babylon and Eigenlayer. And I think that people, like, even, you know, Joe, that we have the kingdom, right? And we started off in Polkadot. We're now talking about, because it's such a small collection, and you sent me some materials and stuff like that, we're thinking of just actually bringing the collection over and just re-inscribing them as ordinals onto Bitcoin as part of our rebrand to Kingdom Ventures, and just more focused on the sort of the decentralized VC story. We have, I think, either 7 or 8 of those seed rounds for things that are coming to Bitcoin. And so if you were standing at the threshold booth, hopefully, Mike, you got a chance to talk to Velar, V-E-L-A-R. These guys already basically have a working product. The founder jokingly says ETH was just the test net because they understand that, you know, if Bitcoin
that over to me? Yeah, I saw them, but I never got the chance to go see what they're doing.
They are going to basically have the first working DEX on Bitcoin. And they already have it pretty much ready and working, whereas a lot of the other competitors are just like trying to raise money. They've been building for probably almost, I think, 3 years. And he was turning down checks now because people got into their round and like one VC offered him $2 million on the spot. He's like, no, the round's closed. I'm not going to dilute my investors. I've already made a commitment to these folks. And so I think that there's just so many other things. I went to another Bitcoin little hacker house that I was just in, and seeing some of these young kids that were doing projects, like one of them was taking BRC20s that exist on Bitcoin and creating, it's called Bridge City. And then it'll effectively make a wrapped BRC20 as the ERC20 standard. So if you wanted to take these BRCs over to Ethereum and then do kind of cross-chain stuff between Bitcoin and Ethereum, like, all this infrastructure is being built and people are sleeping on it. They have no idea what's coming. And I think it's going to just eat up a lot of stuff.
I think that's because there's actual demand for the infrastructure because they built the products and the native assets first. What you're describing is how the ordinal inscriptions were traded early on because there were no marketplaces on Bitcoin. So they were wrapping them with this protocol called Emblem. And Emblem was originally designed as like an NFT that could that could hold private keys for entire portfolios. So they would wrap the inscription or the Bitcoin stamp or whatever, and you could buy them on OpenSea. So in the beginning, I was like, I don't understand this. This is supposed to be on Bitcoin. Why the hell am I using MetaMask? Why the hell am I on OpenSea? I don't understand this at all. So it took me a couple of weeks to realize like that there was something else going on. And as soon as I read about Emblem Vaults, that's what they're called, Emblem Vaults, things will just click because you don't actually need necessarily everything built directly on Bitcoin, because there's actual useful infrastructure that is coming or is already made that could allow you to do lots of interesting things with the Bitcoin native assets. Like BRC20s is a good example, because the BRC20s actually screw up the blockchain a little bit. So there's a new token standard called Atomicals. I think it's called Atomicals, ARC20s, and they make use of the UTXOs differently, and they're less clunky, and they're easier to index and all that. So I don't know if BRC20s are going to be that useful in like a year, but they're iterating so fast. It's like they're going to speed run what Ethereum did over 10 years. Also, yeah. I'll take credit right now. I was the only person in Cosmos making videos about this shit, and people are like, "Oh, that's dumb. Why are there NFTs on Bitcoin? That's so fucking stupid." Yeah. Well, the NFTs just stress tested the network, so now miners can be sustainable when the inflation goes to zero. So,
you know what's funny is, like, I know you're a content creator, so maybe you get this a lot more. Is like the content that has all the alpha, people don't watch, and then there's the content that has no alpha or is just already up, everybody wants to watch, which is crazy. It's like,
yeah,
Dimension is a perfect one. Like, you go watch CryptoCito's video on Dimension, it's got like a crazy amount of views. But if you go watch one like Omniflix or something like that, where there's a lot more upside, in my opinion. I mean, not investment advice, obviously, but I don't even know why I said that. Who gives a shit? But I guess I'm used to it.
Sounds like investment advice, guys. You know
what? Yeah, it is investment advice. I mean, yeah, if you want to tell me, go ahead. I'm the worst investor of all time. But it's funny because like Solana is another one. A great example is like the products that are the best don't have any TVL on them. Like MarginFi, I use it. It's great. Like I like Camino. It's also cool. Parcel's interesting if you like real estate. Like Tensor is a great experience if you like NFTs. Drip is the best product on Solana. I will stand by that. I think it's the most interesting. I mean, like the DEX liquidity on Drift, or like the Perps liquidity on Drift isn't the best, but that's another interesting one. But like, you go and look like Solana versus like some other ecosystem, and I'm just going to keep hammering it home. Like, this is obviously, again, my opinion, could not mean a lot. Like, they're focused on getting actual applications that solve real world issues on chain versus having stupid fucking things like Blast and all this other bullshit where it's a hot ball of money. Same people then enriched themselves for the pre-mine trading ETH between each other. So like, if you actually want an ecosystem where there's cool stuff being built, Helium Mobile, everyone shit on Helium for going to Solana. Look how well they've done. So like, in reality, it's like you have to look at it from a consumer lens and say, okay, like financial infrastructure, super competitive space, super competitive. Like making extra derivatives and making, you know, options protocols and all this crazy shit, like that's a very competitive space. Like you see a million DEXs, you see a lot of money markets, you see a lot of, you know, perps exchanges. What you don't see a lot of is consumer products. And I think Solana out of any ecosystem has so many of those. And then there's a thing coming up, which a lot of projects will probably launch out of, which is the Colosseum Hackathon, which instead of using community pools for grants and stuff like that, they actually put their money where their mouth is and fund projects with the hackathon, which I don't know why it doesn't happen in Cosmos. I know Dora Hacks is doing a good job of it. Delphi Digital, I guess, but they're a VC, so you got to be careful because, you know, sometimes they'll take your ideas and implement them on themselves. You know, I don't hate those guys, but it's just the VC space. But I think the foundation has done a really good job there of actually vetting out good projects that solve issues. And then ones that want to just make another DEX, they just kind of like, you know, what problem are you solving? So I think one thing I'd like to see in Cosmos, I know this is a Cosmos space, is like the foundation, ICF, or fucking somebody step up. I know AA DAO is actually doing this, as much as people hate on them, and fund consumer goods. And I think infrastructure is important in Cosmos. I do think it is, because it's just such a shitty experience. But like things like Ethereum and stuff like that, there's too many middlemen that they've created. So they have an infrastructure problem from a problem they created. Cosmos, with the IBC technology, does it, like, has had that problem since inception, and they're working on solving that problem rather than bottlenecking and making the problem up and having to solve for a problem they created instead of scaling the L1, which should have been the number one problem. I don't think Cosmos has that problem. I just think the fragmented liquidity and ROAP stuff. And I think the issue is that app chains get all this funding and they can make a token out of nowhere. And, you know, you see this time and time again where it goes to zero. Hopefully we're over that hump and actually have useful products. But I think, you know, the difference, I don't think Solana is competing with Cosmos. And I think it's the best smart contracting L1. If you haven't tried it, make a phantom wallet, go out and try it. And then, you know, I think you'll change your opinion. But I think Cosmos has a unique opportunity with app chains, which I think is very, very scalable. And I think that it definitely has a use case in the future versus something like, you know, rollups on Ethereum.
So, Mike, you use Drift. It looks like it's a perps platform on Solana.
Yeah, Drift's cool though. So here's the cool thing about Drift. They have market making vaults. So the cool thing about Drift is, like, if you're not a trader and you still want to have, like, opportunity to collect upside the DEX, deposit in the market making vaults. Like, the issue
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. So the market making vaults are interesting because they fill up pretty quick because the alpha is kind of gone with those. It's like you have a professional market maker that essentially uses your money and then basically runs a Delta neutral strategy.
Like, they've got that on Inject. That's on Injective too. There's a couple of protocols that do that on Injective.
Yeah,
what's this super stake? What is this super stake soul? You know, what is this?
Super stake soul is just leveraging soul. That's all it is. You're basically borrowing soul to stake soul, and you're collecting the difference between the borrow rate and the staking rate. Which, like,
you put
a lot of money, it's useful. Like, it's not useful unless you put in huge size. Because if you collect,
unless you got a big bag of soul.
Yeah. Right? So, like, if you're running, like, let's say you have $100,000 in soul and you collect 1%, you're really not taking that much risk. Like, of course, like, that's useful. But, like, if you have like $100, like, you're making $1, it's not really worth it. And what happens if lending rates go absolutely berserk, which will happen, I guarantee it, you know, you kind of get screwed. So I'm careful on, like, the leverage product side. You know, there's no good leverage management on, like, the leverage side. I think, like, if they had leverage vaults that are directly managed, like, yeah, that'd be cool. But, like, I think the coolest thing on Drift right now is the market making vaults. And, like, I haven't checked out Injective, but Solana also has a shit ton of liquidity. So, like, the fees that you're collecting on Solana are tremendously higher, and they're guaranteed. And, like, the better market makers are going to be on Solana than Injective because they understand that. So
Solana could do better. Solana could do better with stablecoins, I think. I'm sure they're
fine. Dude, so bad. So bad. But YBX is high margin.
Let me get to Pearl and then Bendy. Bendy's back.
Real quick, Joe, did you see the tweet I put up top? What's Sonny talking about here, man? What is he going cross chain? What's going on here?
He told me that he wants to beat Thorchain with native BTC volume. I don't know more than that.
No. It says Osmosis will be the default DEX, not for just Cosmos SDK, but it looks like they want to go to DOT, Polkadot too. And
no, I think he's just talking about native assets on Osmosis.
Native
on Osmosis. Got okay. Yes. Okay.
That I don't know how that's going to happen. I was a huge thing for me. I'm sorry for interrupting, Joe, but that was a big thing that I stressed my mind about with a lot of things. Like, I'm not even here to show my product, but I'll just might as well talk about it. It's like, if I'm building an automated investing product on the Cosmos SDK, it's consumer facing. I'm taking all the risk. Why the hell would I use wrapped assets? It's massive risk. If the bridge gets hacked, they're fucked. They don't blame Osmosis. They blame your product. So I think the biggest issue right now is we have minimal native assets. Like, we need, like, Cosmos with Noble has such a huge opportunity to issue native assets on chain, which is so hard to do. Like, Circle has just recently come to like Ethereum L2s, and Ethereum's not even native on most of the L2s. If Noble could get this right, like, Cosmos could have major market share. And I think that's kind of what Sonny's betting on. But go ahead, Joe.
You know, I wanted to get to Pearl and then Bendy. Because they were waiting quite some time.
I just wanted to jump in real quick on the native issuance thing, if I could, Majo. You know, just because they were talking about it. But, like, I think it's one of the things that everyone seems to be missing is that Noble is not USDC chain. Like, it is going to do native issuance of loads of stuff. And I think that that's really interesting in terms of, like, I guess my question when I saw that tweet from Sunny is like, okay, is Osmosis, because they've got it with the, it's not native Bitcoin, but native wrapped Bitcoin as opposed to, right? Like, they are they going to compete with Noble, or are they just going to leverage it? And I think that that's one of the real challenges in the Cosmos ecosystem is, you were talking about, you know, apps versus infra. And the problem is that in order to, for some of the applications to work, you're going to need better infra. And in sometimes what you're reliant on is having good partners who are building other stuff. And one of the mistakes I think Cosmos made last bull market is that it went very PvP. So if we see Osmosis and Noble both competing to do native asset issuance, then that's a lost opportunity to the whole ecosystem. One of them will win, one of them will lose, great. But actually what we've done is we've diluted our developer time by both working on the same thing. And I guess that's part of what like the app chain thesis allows to happen, right? But that's one of the things that I think something like Solana or Ethereum, it's less likely to happen because it's like, oh, cool, it's all just in one thing and it's all Ether-lined if we're using that language, right? And I think that Cosmos needs to kind of, as a community of developers and builders and people issuing funding, et cetera, need to sort that shit out so that we actually make the most of the opportunities we have rather than just competing ourselves to death.
One thing I'll say is Solana, why Solana is doing so well is because they're focusing on one thing, consumer applications and deep end. Like DeFi is like almost a subset and is very thin. Like the DeFi products are cool, but I think they understand that consumer applications is what they're targeting. So like, I agree with you that like the infra is not there on Cosmos, but like the issue is that everybody's trying to do either the same thing or somebody will come up with an idea and somebody will try to front run the idea and build upon it before somebody else, instead of sticking with the idea of the original app chain thesis. Like I would be very upset too if Osmos was like, we're going to bring native assets. Cause then like what happens to your concentrated liquidity or what happens to your, you know, your perp DEXs is built and Mars and so all this stuff. Like you can only focus on one thing and do it right. Like Stride does it really. I mean, focus on one thing and do it really well and give the best damn product to the market and then find great partners. That's how the app chain thesis works out. Not everybody trying to fight for the same product in like a spot of a small amount of liquidity. So I agree with you. Sorry, I just wanted to say that.
Cool. Pearl, you could definitely speak. You've got a mic. And I know you've had your hand up for a long time. She probably fell asleep. She was waiting for like a half an hour.
Yeah.
She did an accident.
She's not responding.
Meanwhile, Bruce is probably spamming the nest with all kinds of disgusting European porn.
What the fuck? I remember when that happened to you because you couldn't vet your guest.
Well, I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson that a lot of people, when they come to a Twitter space with only 20 people in it and they have a Bored Ape as the PFP, they're not really the Bored Ape owner of that PFP. They just want to spam your nest.
That's correct. That is correct. I'm pretty sure you're going to vote yes on any internet account KYC registration, pass, bill, whatever, man. That's going to be thrown up.
Yeah, I'm sure that I'm going to ever get to vote on anything like that.
You know what also is cool?
I hope you're right.
Go ahead, Bruce. Is ZK login is really cool, which they're doing a lot of stuff on. That's one thing I'll say positive at the Ethereum conference that they're going to get right is account abstraction and ZK login. I guess that is infrastructure, but I think that's optimistic because people are going to log in with like Facebook and Google. Like, good luck getting them to make a MetaMask.
But again, I think this is one of the, and I get it. Like, I do get it why people are like, oh, we don't want to do that. But like, you can't seriously think that people aren't going to change. And like, this is like one of my things around self-custody, right? Self-custody is fundamentally a terrible idea. That's why it doesn't exist in the world. Just because we don't trust the things that we now have to have doing the custodying for us. Like, self-custody is awful. Like, it has so many challenges to it. And being your own bank is a terrible idea for the most part. Like, if it was a good idea, it would already be happening. There are definitely upsides to doing it. But like, for the vast majority of people, and if we really think that this is going to be the bull market where loads and loads of people come, well, self-custody is just going to switch them off because it's just impossible. And like, I'm sort of overstating it, but it's like, have you ever tried to actually onboard someone that doesn't know anything about blockchain? You sound like a fucking moron. Majority
of people keep
self-custody is like level 8 of Web 3. We have to be more willing to cater people that are at level 0, level 1. And I agree with that.
Most people don't keep $5 million in their house, right? So, I mean, there's a reason people don't self-custody their assets, right?
It's a smart risk-based thing. Why share all the risk? Diversify the risk to somebody else. Like, people love to blame somebody else if they lose their money. They hate blaming themselves. Like, you can yell at the bank.
Right. So the counterparty, you're saying the counterparty risk is therefore actually assurance, right?
Why do you think people invest with financial advisors? Because they can't handle it themselves. It's not because of the performance. It's because they would rather somebody else take care of the problem than you. It's the same thing with holding money in a safe. Nobody would keep, like Benny was saying, nobody would keep $2 million in their house unless they were crazy. Because the risk is, what if your house burns down and it's in cash? It's gone. Versus if it's in a bank, you know?
Well, I can assure you that if we're going to have a bank run, or if we're going to have some economical cataclysmic event, people is going to be so motivated to learn how to do self-custody. So it's all, I think it not all about, but the surroundings and the culture and like the current events is a huge factor.
Yeah, well, it's all about how much longer does this fiat system have left? And, you know, it could run on fumes for the next 20 years, you know, but it's all debt. It's all debt based.
It's a similar analogy to privacy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Huge.
Privacies. People only want privacy when they need privacy. Right. Yeah. Otherwise, people are more than willing to punt their privacy to some weirdo on the internet.
For incentives, people will give up fucking privacy for incentives.
Dude, my favorite thing is, and you're in the United States, right? Timmy, mayor, coach, right? Like, I don't understand how, like, the doctor's office can't give my wife a printout of my fucking blood test, but they can give it to every insurance company in every country in the world.
Because they anonymize it. They anonymize
it. What's the other crazy one? You go to fucking get a mortgage and they sell your fucking data to credit card companies and fucking lenders. Like, how the fuck is that? And they have your social security number and everything. So I guess, like, it's important until it's, I mean, it's not important until it's important. I understand that. And I think I am bullish long term that self-custody will be the norm, because I think the younger population is really fucking smart and like they'll know how to do it. The issue is the older population grew up where fucking smartphones weren't really a thing. I mean, in reality,
I think the younger population is just going to have less stuff to custody because all their possessions are going to be digital.
Yeah. Seriously, though.
But like they're not going to have a physical high school diploma. They're not going to have a physical AAA card. Like it's not a thing. Those are going to be NFTs, right?
Yep. And
I think
they just have to remember 12 words.
There's also a huge, so I'm trying to work out what I can say without giving away too much of my real life. There's also an amount of people that just distrust tech, though. And I think like it's super easy for us to think, oh, people will trust this more than, you know, they trust the banks and the government. Like, the part of the UK I live in definitely doesn't trust the government, but it also 100% doesn't trust tech. So I work for a company. We issue tickets that allow you into a building, and you can either have that on your phone or you can order a physical card. And if you want the physical card, you have to pay additional for it. And over 80% of our customers order the physical card as the additional thing because they literally do not trust that the tech on their phone, which they use for their bank cards and their club card points and whatever else, club cards are a thing you can use in your grocery store. They trust it there and they'll go on an airplane with it. But because they've been doing a particular thing for a long time.
Yeah, but that's not about trust, Bendy.
Because they go, I don't want you to know that I've transferred my ticket to my mate because then you'll ban me from coming because you'll think that's touting. So they're very worried that their behaviors that they do will be supervised, right? Whereas their physical card, they can just pass to someone, it still looks like them. Whereas their digital ticket being on a different phone, they don't like. So that's not about trust either.
That's about agility, right? That's about social mobility or whatever you want to call it.
And it's about how much do you trust organizations with your data and how much do you care about your privacy? And one of the things is that like going to a blockchain-led society or a digital society actually at the moment gives you significantly less privacy. Once someone can associate you with a wallet, you have no privacy at all. Whereas, you know, if I take out some cash, no one knows what I'm doing with it. It's absolutely fine, right? They probably do actually, because you could follow me with CCTV and do all this other stuff. But linking behavior to data, there is certainly where I am, there is a significant amount of skepticism to that. And again, I just think this is one of those things where if blockchain is going to have a future as a big scalable thing, there are things we're going to have to overcome in terms of culture. And the tech is then part of that, right? How do you have on-chain privacy and a public ledger? Like, until that is solved and it isn't just isn't just on Monero or Secret or whatever, until that's across the entirety of an ecosystem, basically, I think blockchain is not fit for purpose.
Bendy, but how do you solve that? Because then you're just recreating the same system. It's like, then you're gating things like Bloomberg Terminal, where most of the people don't have access to the data. But if you pay for the data, you have access to it. So like you're recreating the system again, you know?
This is why I'm saying it's a significant problem, because, I suppose it's about choices about what you choose to value, right? Do you value transparency or privacy? Because it's very, I don't know how you can value both. How you could simultaneously want, privacy for the individual, but macro level kind of transparency.
You can't have everything. It's like the blockchain trilemma. It's like you basically essentially give up one thing. You can't have, security, scalability, and cheap transaction fees. Like it just, you have to sacrifice, or decentralization, sorry.
It will probably need to be done on a chain by chain basis.
Modularity or app chains. That's really how you solve it. Specific blockchains that solve specific problems in some sort of.
And it will solve it 80% of the way. It'll never solve it 100%.
No, there's always trade-offs with everything. And if there's no trade-offs, there's a hidden trade-off that you haven't discovered yet. one size fits all.
I guess that's though why the app chain thesis for me was always so appealing, right? Is that you can within an interoperable universe, you can make those same trade-offs. So in one place, I can have transparency. In another place, I can have privacy. In one place, I can have much lower fees. And in another place, I can have higher block speed and whatever. Like all of those different things and that optionality exists if you have interoperability between the blockchains. And that's what was always so appealing about it. And I think the funny thing with that, going back to what Joe was talking about earlier, is I do think that does mean you have to build the infra first rather than worrying about the apps. We're probably at an inflection point now where we need to worry, we do need to worry more about the apps, and we need to have things for people to do, because you can't just build infra forever. But if you don't have that infra, then the idea falls down immediately, right?
Yeah, you have to build bottom up, not top down. I think that's a lot of the ecosystems make the mistake, is building, top down. Ethereum had this problem, but I mean, they're the first ones, so like you can't blame them. But they should have solved the scalability of the L1 before they went out and launched L2s. I think that's the problem with Cosmos now. And I think we put ourselves in a weird position, like you said, Bendy, is like we do need apps, but infrastructure is more important. Like you need apps to keep people from, what they're doing or to do something. But the good thing is that you have other blockchains that at least keep people in attendance in the ecosystem, because I really think the ecosystem as a whole is competing against traditional finance and traditional tech and traditional. You're basically, as an ecosystem and as an industry, aren't competing against each other. I think that's where people make the biggest mistake, is like, crypto companies and crypto, related projects, they try to compete with each other, because I guess it's the survivability in the space is very very, very minimal. The margins are thin. But in reality, it's like you shouldn't compete against other projects. You should compete against almost the problem you're trying to solve. So like, let's say, a good one is, I'll bring it up, is called Teleport, which is on Solana. Like they're competing against Uber. They're not competing against other startups that are trying to do the same thing. Their goal is to replace Uber. I guess Helium is trying to replace, and I keep saying Solana because they're like really the only ones trying to solve these issues that are in the real world and deep in. Akash is okay, Cosmos one. They're going against Azure, they're going against AWS, they're trying to take on these massive data servers, and nobody else is trying to do it. They're not trying to compete with something like BitTensor. They're trying to compete with AWS. So I think once we change that mindset and shift the narrative, like obviously infrastructure is super important, but working together as a collaborative and saying, okay, you know, this app solves this problem. How can we help you on that sense? A great one is like Noble. If Sunny wants native assets on chain, why do it?
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments, red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.